knows me now, and he died for me. He loved me then, and he loves me now. Oh, how can it be? He saw my face. He knew the place I would be today. He knew me then. He knows me now. Some people say that he died one day, but that was long ago. Well, I'm sure that he was a very good man, but me he did not. Listen, my friend, what I say is true, that he knew me, and he sure knew you. He knew you then, he knows you now, and he loves you. He knows you now, and he died for you. He loved you then, and he loves you now. Oh, I know it's true. He saw you. He knows us now, and he loves us still somehow.
Dear friends, I'm introducing Dr. Walter Martin. He was one of the best teachers exposing cults. He founded the Christian Research Institute and created the well-known radio program about various denominations. Today the program is called The Bible Answer Man. Today's program will be addressing Mormonism, what Walter called the maze of Mormonism. Even if you're not involved, being a believer, the missionaries seem to know who is and will knock on your door sooner or later. Mormons know that believers are looking to serve in some capacity, and they have a convincing way of making them believe that it is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, his church, when they are having a different Jesus and do not believe in the Holy Spirit as believers do. Satan knows how to make believers believe a lie. It's best to be prepared to witness the truth to the missionaries. For me, it was a great way to help me understand the Bible. There will be 4 talks on this subject, approximately 15 minutes each.
If you will, to St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. How many have your Bibles with you this evening? Good. We're going to need them as we study Mormonism in the light of the Scriptures. If there are any Mormons here this evening, we welcome you. We We ask only that you follow in the Bible what we say, and that you understand that our interest is to compare Mormon theology with Christian theology, with historic Christian theology, to obey the command of Scripture which says, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. And we believe that we must test all things, and we must find out when something purports to be a revelation of God, whether or not it measures up to what the Bible says is God's revelation. Galatians chapter 1, the words of the Apostle Paul. Beginning at verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel out of heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The word accursed is the strongest word Paul could have chosen. Anathema, the divine curse. As we said before, I now say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel unto you than what you have received, let him be anathema, under the curse. Now, quite obviously, you're probably asking the question, what has this got to do with Mormonism? A great deal. Because Mormonism allegedly came into existence by angelic revelation. The angel Moroni appeared to Joseph Smith Jr., according to Joseph Smith, and told him where to dig in the hill Cumorah in New York State in the early 1820s. And there he would find the marvelous plates upon which were inscribed what is known today as the Book of Mormon. Was written in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics, Joseph Smith told us, and it was necessary for the angel to provide him with the Urim and the Thummim from the Old Testament so that he could translate these Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics into English. The Mormons have four sacred books, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, and the Bible, insofar as it is correctly translated. The Mormons believe that Joseph Smith and Brigham Young are prophets of God. Each succeeding president of the church is a prophet of God. They believe that Joseph and Brigham spoke with the authority of God himself. Therefore, I'm going to confine most of my comments this evening to quotations from Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and succeeding presidents of the church, because if you do not do so, then some Mormons say, well, that's so-and-so's opinion. And he's entitled to think what he wants, but that's not what the church teaches. But if you stick with Joseph and Brigham, that am what the church teaches. And there is no way out of this type of discussion. Now, should we fail to understand the background of Mormonism, let me sketch briefly for you that Joseph Smith maintained that he received divine visions. At the age of 15, in the year 1820, he maintained that he received a vision in which God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him. In his particular vision, Joseph Smith maintained that he was told specific things about the Christian church. And therefore, I would like to introduce as some very important evidence the fact that it is not Christianity which began any antagonism toward Mormonism. It was Mormonism that began antagonism toward Christianity. And I would like to quote Joseph Smith as my prime witness to prove the fact. Quote, my object in going to inquire of the Lord was to know which of all the sects was right, that I might know which to join. No sooner, therefore, did I get possession of myself so as to be able to speak, than I asked the personages who stood above me in the light which of all the sects was right and which I should join. I was answered, I must join none of them, for they were all wrong. And the person that you addressed me said, all their creeds were an abomination in his sight, and that their professors were all corrupt. Well, now, let's take a good long look at what Joseph was allegedly told by God. First of all, he must join no church, for they were all wrong. That takes care of all the professing Christian churches of the world with one sweep of the pen. Secondly, all their creeds or doctrines are abominations. So that takes care of the theological structure of the Christian church. And finally, all the professors are corrupt. That takes care of all the people. So what's left? Nothing. That is why Joseph Smith was chosen by God, so the Mormons believe, not to reform the church, but to restore the church. Mormonism doesn't claim to be Protestant or Catholic. It claims to be the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, the restoration of the gospel that was lost because of the church's apostasy. Now, if this claim is true, then we have a right to expect that the restored gospel will be in perfect accord with the historic gospel. If God cannot lie, then all his revelations will be consistent. We must judge all of the revelations of Joseph and Brigham by Holy Scripture. The Bible antedates the Book of Mormon. The Bible antedates the Pearl of Great Price. The Bible antedates Doctrine and Covenants. We know that God has spoken in the Bible, and the Mormons admit it too. Therefore, since it's the oldest revelation, and since all of the revelations supposedly came from the same God, we have every right to expect that they will be in perfect harmony. Therefore, if Joseph and Brigham do not speak in accordance with Holy Scripture, then we know that what they are saying is false doctrine. The Scripture says that if a prophet arises and speaks not according to the law and the testimony, it is because there is no light in them. So we put them to the test. It is not that God cannot give revelations today. He can give anything he wants to. It is not that Joseph and Brigham couldn't have been prophets of God. They could have. What we must do is check what they say God said by what we know God said. Then we will know whether or not they were prophets. Not on their word, but on the word of God. That is the supreme test. Because the Bible is the oldest, we will test their revelations by Scripture. We have no antagonism toward Mormons. Our antagonism is directed toward Mormon theology, toward that which professes to be in accord with Scripture. Tonight we will find out whether or not it is. Now, it's quite obvious that in the time that we have together, we are not going to be able to go through all of Mormon theology. So we are going to discuss the Mormon doctrine of God and the person and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work for us. If you are right in every area of theology and you are wrong on who God is and who Jesus Christ is, you are wrong enough to lose your soul for all eternity. So let us not waste our time with peripheral theology. Let us direct our attention to the centrality of the message. What do you think of Christ? Who is he? And what does Mormonism have to say about God and about the Lord Jesus? Now, so we'll have no doubt about this. A few years ago, Look magazine conducted a series of inquiries into the religions of America. It was published in Look magazine and then later in a book, The Religions of America by Leo Rostam. Look magazine sent its reporters to the headquarters of every denomination in the country, and an official spokesman was selected by the denomination to answer for the denomination. There is no doubt that official spokesmen were chosen. The man who uttered these words is Richard Evans, an official spokesman of the Mormon Church and one of the apostles of the church at the time. Question: do Mormons believe in the Holy Trinity? Answer: yes. The Latter-day Saints accept the Godhead as three literal distinct personalities: God the Father, his Son, Jesus the Christ, who is one with the Father in purpose and in thought, but separate from him in physical fact, and the Holy Ghost, a personage of spirit, Acts 7:55, etc. Close quote. The question was very direct. Do Mormons believe in the doctrine of the Holy Trinity? What doctrine of the Trinity? The Christian doctrine of the Trinity. That's the same question that was asked everybody in the survey. What is the Christian doctrine of the Trinity? Very simply, it is this. Within the nature of the one God, there are three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Do the Mormons really believe the Christian doctrine of the Trinity, or are we simply using words with different meanings? The only way to ascertain the truth is to go to Mormon theology, to go to Mormon publications, to what the Mormons teach. And to do that, I would like to call your attention to what the Mormons say about the nature of God. I believe it is imperative for Christians to understand that in Mormon thinking, when you say God, there is a radical redefinition of terminology. We are not using the same terms. Let us find out what we mean by these terms. When we say God in Christian theology, we are talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. When the Mormons are talking about God, what do they mean? May I quote Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, two very safe sources, so there won't be any flack as to misrepresentation. Quote, Joseph Smith, "In the beginning, the head of the gods called a council of the gods, and they came together and concocted a plan to create the world and people it. God himself was once as we are now, and is an exalted man. The Father has a body of flesh and bone as tangible as man's, the Son also. But the Holy Ghost does not have a body of flesh and bone, but is a personage of spirit." Brigham Young. "When our father Adam came into the Garden of Eden, he came into it with a celestial body and brought Eve, one of his celestial wives, with him. It appears that before Adam got here, he was practicing polygamy." This next statement is quite important. "He is our Father and our God, and the only God with whom we have to do." Brigham Young. "Gods exist, and we had better strive to prepare to be one with them." Joseph Smith. "As man is, God once was. As God is, man may become." "Each of these gods," says Parley Pratt in The Key to the Science of Theology, "including Jesus Christ and his Father, being in possession of not merely an organized spirit, but a glorious body of flesh and bone." "Many men say there is one God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are only one God. I say this is a strange God anyhow. All are to be crammed into one God." Joseph Smith. And finally, Smith was assassinated in Carthage, Illinois in 1844, which was a dastardly crime. And here is the last sermon he ever preached. Excerpts from it. It was printed in the Millennial Star, very difficult to get hold of, but we have photostats of the original documents. Smith preached this sermon. This is Mormon theology from the core. 18,000 people heard him preach it. It was taken down by five Mormon scribes, carefully compared, and then printed. I quote, "I'm going to inquire after God, for I want you all to know him and to be familiar with him. I will go back before the world, before the beginning, before the world was, to show you what kind of a being God is. God was once as we are now, and is an exalted man, and sits enthroned in yonder heavens. I say if you were to see him today, you would see him like a man in form like yourselves, in all the person, image, and very form of man. I'm going to tell you how God came to be God. We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute the idea and take away the veil so that you may see. It is the first principle of the gospel to know for certainty the character of God, to know that we may converse with him as one man converses with another, that he was once a man like us. Yes, that God himself, the Father of us all, dwelt on earth the same as Jesus Christ did. What did Jesus say? The scriptures inform us that Jesus said, as the Father has power to himself, even so has the Son power. To do what? Why, what the Father did. The answer is obvious. In a manner to lay down his body and to take it up again. Here then is eternal life. To know the only wise and true God, and you have got to learn how to be gods yourselves. And to be kings and priests the same as all gods before you. namely by going from one small degree to another and from a small capacity to a great one, from grace to grace, from exaltation to exaltation, until you attain to the resurrection of the dead and are able to dwell in the everlasting burnings and to sit in glory as do those who sit enthroned in everlasting power.
Friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wish to be in the rapture, say this prayer with me right now, okay? It will be available on cephas-radio.com in case you can't follow it. Cephas, cephas-radio.com. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was the only one who was without sin and able and willing to take the penalty for all our sins by shedding his blood, so we can be assured that he paid the penalty in full. He said the following before he died on the cross: "It is finished." God, Father, I humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness for my sins. I repent of them. I wish to become your child, born again of the Holy Spirit, who will be my teacher, my comforter, and my connection to you, Father God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. I wish to make him my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. This commitment will change me, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Remember, God is in control and allowing his word to be fulfilled when the time is right. Our assignment is to keep you informed as to not be deceived. Satan comes in a perfect coat. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Mark chapter 13, verse 22, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." The elect have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Jesus taught in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Time is up. Celebrate our 25th anniversary with us at CephasThriftShop.com. CephasThriftShop.com. We are selling our inventory at a 90% discount. Books, DVDs, CDs, and etc. The DVDs and CDs are originals and new, and the books are described. Join our monthly newsletter free at go-cephas.com. My email address is r421@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends about us. God bless you, and hope to share with you next week. Shalom, Rita Williams.